All right, Sunday morning, 12:27:20, learning to flow in the supernatural. As I said earlier in the Prophet's Corner, the training of the Lord, if you're going to do what the Lord wants you to do, it's not any different than being in the armed services. When you go into boot camp, they are going to train you to do what you are supposed to do. And they have to be tough on you because they know you're going to be in harm's way at times, you know, and you have to be able to know how to react or act in the situation. You have to be proven. And then as you're proven, a lot of times you get promotions, ranks, you go up the ladder. And it's no different with the Lord. Who he has called, he will qualify. He's not asking you to qualify yourself. Well, I got this talent, that talent. Who cares? That's just men's training. Now, I know there's some natural talents, but God chooses and he qualifies. He's not asking you to qualify. Well, I ain't good enough to do that. I've heard that a few times from people saying, well, when I get my life cleaned up, I'll start doing this or I'll start doing that. Well, it's not like that. God wants you. He knows everything about you. He knows your ins and outs. He knows that, you know, you missed it yesterday or whatever you did. He knows everything. You're no surprise to him. And so he's just asking you to lay yourself down on that altar, Romans 12:1-2, become a living sacrifice and get in his word and begin to find out what he wants you to do. And then the training process. Once you realize what he wants you to do, then you start your training. And depending on what he's called you to do, your training might be long or it might be short or somewhere in between. And this is what the walk of the Spirit is, because if you cannot learn to walk in the Spirit, you will never do anything for God. Because, you know, so many ministries, there's millions of ministries, and a lot of them, they're just institutions with no spirit, just corporations, you know. But that's not God's. God's way is he is the one that does the training, oversees the training. He's the one that tells you what to do and when to do it. He's the one that provides the funds to do whatever needs to be done. We get into trouble when we start trying to get out on our own and try to do it ourselves. It usually falls flat. I know. I've been there. Everything I ever thought was a good idea or tried never worked. And it still doesn't work. That's why so many preachers have left this area. Because I think you get into this, well, I'm following Copeland, and I'm following Capps, and I'm following this one, and I'm following that one, and they did this, so I better do that. They're plate spinners. They run here and run there, thinking, well, you know, there's a big revival down there. Well, let's go over there, let's fly across over there, and let's see what their secret is. And let's try it in our church. Kind of like, well, home groups is prime example, Youngie Cho. Everybody. Or everybody did the purpose-driven life. Well, we didn't. It's like trends flowing through the church. Paul talked about those, every wave of doctrine just blowing through the church, and every church gets on board, and everybody does the same thing. Thank God. Not here to blame them, but it's not following the Spirit. I'd be venture to say every pastor in this town has a different call to do a different thing. And when we all do our different things, then we're a complete body instead of trying to mock each other. Well, I'm of that bunch over there. Oh, yeah, well, we don't do that. And while you should never be ashamed of where God has you and where he has you going, because that's your, you talk about your bent. People talk about bent. That's some talent some kid has. No, it's not. It's the call of God on their life. Let's just call it what it is because it is the truth. That child's bent. That's one of my confessions is, Lord, through the Word of God and the 1776 Commission, let these children come out of these schools knowing what God has called them to do, and they go right into it. That's what schooling's about. That's what kids need to know. They need to know, what has God called me to do? Instead, they come out of college, don't know what to do, go spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars getting Marxism crammed down their throat, and they come out and they still don't know what they want to do. And then they're stuck with school loans that they can't possibly pay off in two lifetimes. And you're going, what is wrong with this system? Well, it's Satan's system. That's what's wrong with it. It's not God's way. God's way is following the Spirit. And that is the biggest thing that you could ever learn in your life right here today. If you never do anything else, if you learn to follow the Spirit, you're going to be okay. And whatever you do, you will be a success. You will never be a failure, ever. So many people are seeking this and seeking this and trying that and trying that. And the last thing they come to, finally, when they're out of everything else and they're desperate, they might call some preacher, well, can you pray for me? I feel sorry for them because they're just toiling and spinning. And God will just let them toil and spin. And it's so sad because you think, Lord, I have the answer. But I know people that I've known for 30, 40 years that are dying. They're dying. And they wouldn't come across the street to hear me, but they'd turn on First Baptist. Boy, I'm on my soapbox today, and I never intended to even go this route, but the Lord knows. I said, Lord, when are people going to esteem your word? When are they going to hear your true voices? Now maybe we see why it's had to get so bad here. Because as long as it's good, people don't care. They're just going to go to and fro, make their money, have their vacations, and do their things. And never give a thought about it. I mean, even in this, even living in this cesspool down here, a lot of them are still oblivious to it. The key is learning to walk in the Spirit. I have never been satisfied, ever. Never was satisfied with churches. Always came away thinking, what is wrong with me? I don't fit in with that mess. It's because it was a mess. It's because it wasn't God in it, probably, for the most part. And Jesus didn't fit in either. That's what gives me peace. Jesus didn't fit either. But he said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. I don't speak independently of the Father. I say what my Father tells me to say. He subjected himself to the testing, to the training. He wanted to do it when he was 12 years old, but the Father said no. He'd go home and be subject to his parents till the time was set for him to be raised up. I want to talk to you today about servant of all, servant of love. Now we're going to turn to Galatians. Thought I'd read it this morning because that's what walking in the Spirit is. Galatians tells us the walking in the flesh and the walking in the Spirit. It's pretty easy. Don't walk in the flesh and do walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Didn't I just say that? You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. No brainer. No brainer. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. So you're just doing our own thing, just going about our business like the world does. That goes against God. One time when I first started teaching on TV, I did a TV program on Are You an Enemy of God? And I got a lot of hits on that video. But you are, if you're going the way of the flesh. It says here, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you are led of the spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of which I tell you before, as I have told you also in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Why in the world do people think they can live the lifestyle they want and think God will fit into my plan or God's out? It don't work that way. You either fit into his plan or it's you out. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. In other words, we've decided, Lord, we've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. And we've decided, Lord, we know we'd like to do these things, but we've decided we're not going to do anything other than what you tell us to do. We put our plans aside and what we want to do, the life we wanted, we choose you. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. This isn't something, like I said, with the church. You know, it's like everybody does the same thing. That ought to tell you right there something's wrong with that. I mean, if everybody's doing the same thing, that's why you should never feel bad about what God's called you to do. You do it, and you do it with all your might. Because you're going to answer to him, not to whoever says something about it or doesn't like it. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't care if there's ever any more people. I said, it's up to you who you send. But I know this, I know what you've told me to do, and I'm going to continue to do it, whether they like it or not, lump it or not, whether they approve or not. As you can see this morning, they don't approve, but I don't care. I don't care. As long as I know, when I lay my head down, I've done what God told me to do, it doesn't really matter what anybody does or says. And you have to have that attitude, because you will answer to him for it. He's the only thing worth having. Things, they're nice, but they don't fulfill. Okay, love is listed in the fruit of the Spirit. The light up here is the first one, and I've said many times that I believe all of them are love, because faith works by love. All of them are love. All right, so We're going to go and look into servanthood and the role it plays in flowing in the supernatural. A person that is self-serving will be fleshly minded and will not walk in the Spirit. But they think they're the most important thing there is, and what they want and what they do. And we all know people like that. It's all about them. A person that is self-serving will be fleshly minded and will not walk in the Spirit. On the other hand, the person that is walking by the Spirit, walk in the Spirit of love. They'll be servant minded. What can I do for you? I got lots of scriptures this morning on this. We'll just start looking at some scriptures. Matthew 20. Then came to him, verse 20, the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She saith unto him, grant that these two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand, the other on the left in thy kingdom. And Jesus answered and said, ye know not what ye ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of? and to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? They say unto him, we are able. And he saith unto them, you shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, but to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the prince of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great that exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So this is the attitude here. Jesus didn't come to be served. He came to serve. And we as his servants are here to serve. Okay, John 15, 13. Well, 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So the life of the Son of God is a life of self-sacrifice, a life of serving others. I mean, it's all through the Gospels anyway. It's all through the Scriptures. I told you lots of Scriptures. Matthew 23. Serving is love in action. Verse 11. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a penance make long prayer, therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte. When he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. And he goes on talking about their blind guides. These were the religious leaders. Jesus came as a servant. He came to serve as a servant. Putting others' needs above your own goes a long way in keeping your flesh under. You can find out real quick if your attitude is right or not. You find out when you give. I'm sorry. I need some help here, Jackie. Oh, Lord. All right. Let's look at Luke 9. Like I said, you will find out real quick if your attitude is right, especially when you do nice things and you obey the Lord and someone doesn't even act like they appreciate it. You have to get to the place that, Lord, I did what you told me to do. And so I humble myself and I say, as long as you are happy with what I did, that's all that matters. All right, Luke 9. It was drilled into me as a kid, saying please and thank you, saying yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Just always proper. Anytime you get some, you write a thank you note. That raising that proper way, you know, just being cordial, being, you know, people nowadays don't know anything about that. They've lost any etiquette. It's like, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying that that's Christian, but it is appropriate. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, Lord knows. But we have to get to the place whether they will or won't. If God is pleased with us, then we have served him. Because when you do it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. That's what the servant attitude is about. And maybe the Lord does allow that so we can find out, are you truly serving me or you want approval of men? Are you expecting something out of them? Now you owe me? Or is it truly a service to God that I've done this? I've done what God told me to do. I'm serving God. Because when you're serving others, you are serving God. Like I said, it'll locate you. It'll certainly do that. All right, Luke 9:46. Then there arose a reason among them, which of them should be the greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set him by him, and said unto them, Whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. Okay, look over to Luke 10:25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. By chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do likewise. Now it came to pass as they went, they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with serving, and came to him, and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. It was evident Martha was a server, but she didn't have a very good attitude. I always like to say, her pots were boiling, and so was she. All right, whether it is noticed or not, we do that service is unto the Lord. All right, Matthew 6. Verse 4. Well, let's start with 3. But when thou doest thy alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So what we, our service to the Lord is seen between the Lord and us, not, you know, I think that's why I like giving in secret better than I do openly. Because, you know, you think, well, they just thinking, and they think you owe them something, or they owe you something for it. I don't like that. I want people to think, well, God did this. You know, God was the one that gave them this, and so he's the one they need to be thanking for this. Not me. I'm just the vessel. I'm just the servant. Okay, way back in the 80s, one of the first things the Lord ever spoke to me was being the servant was the greatest in the kingdom. If I wanted to be great in his kingdom, that the servant was the greatest of all. Now in the world, the servant's the lowliest of all. Just the opposite, you know. All right, let's go back to Galatians 5. I'll look at verse 13 and 14. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed of one another. Then it goes on to say what we read previously. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But by love, serve one another. That's what serving is. Love is serving. Okay, told you, got lots of scripture. We may get to all of them. We may save some for next week. I don't know. 1 John 4. Verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. One thing you do notice in the world, and it's really been really rampant the last 4 years, is the hate of those that serve Satan. Just absolute hate. Such hate that you just never dreamed. I mean, you see stuff like that in movies, but you never thought you'd ever see real people acting that way. Filled with hate. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so we're in this world. For those that are following the left narrative, the ones that survive, the ones that, I believe it's going to be love that'll win them over. Acceptance, not, because I've seen patriots kind of dish out the hate back, and I think that's wrong. We cannot be that way. We cannot lower ourselves to their standard. Because love is going to master that hate. When they see, and I've, you know, there's been a few young people that have been embraced by the right and felt such love and acceptance, or went to Trump rallies and felt the Spirit of God and everything, and it just broke them. Mm-hmm. Like everything we've heard, all the propaganda that they've fed us, the training they've given us, and all that they've spewed at us, it's all wrong. See, they're told to hate Trump. They're told that we're all these awful things, and it's not true. And when they see for themselves, they go, wow. Mm-hmm. It's people like that that are the best ones to go to the other side and say, you've been fed a line of bull. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. I hear so much, well, the opposite of fear is faith. No, it isn't. It's not. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. So he tells us what to do. perfect love casts out fear. So faith and fear are not opposites. Fear and love are opposites. Because we can see that today with the push of the pandemic. It's all, because when that all first started happening, I kept having that fear come against me. That's what I realized later. That was that spirit behind this thing that I was picking up that was coming against, I felt coming against me. Just like I couldn't seem to shake it. It was not like any other thing. But this was a fear that come on the whole world. This is that Antichrist. I mean, it was like, God, what is this, Lord? And all these other things that come along, you pray about it, go about your business, don't ever experience any of that, but what is this? This is something different. It's their crown jewel. It's their weapon to bring the whole world down. What's going to master that, love? Okay, 1 Corinthians 13. What's the saying? They don't care how much they don't know. They don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. How are you going to show people you love them? Serve them. Just like the little lady you told me that you gave the shoes to. That breaks down that old hateful narrative, breaks down, and they start seeing fruit. They start seeing they're different. They're from another place. You talk about the aliens, we are the aliens. It even calls us aliens in Hebrews. It said the world was not worthy of them. Verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Love never fails. There's someone that is kind of new to our family and don't think he's had much, been given much. But I watch him and I look and he sees how blessed our kids and grandkids are. And he just, you don't know what you have. You don't know, you're used to this, but you don't, somebody that's not seen that, it's just like those two guys I told you this year, a male and a female that asks, how do you get this house? Follow God. It's real easy to get used to that kind of thing and think, I'm entitled to it, type of attitude. But I'm telling you, it's rare. And many in the world to see, to even receive a drop, just a drop. I'm to the point that I just nearly soon give it to a stranger, because you know they can't do anything to recompense it or anything else. I mean, the Lord will lead. We do whatever He tells us to do. We should never, never get to that place to where this is just old hat. No, we're led by the Spirit. And more is not always better. I told you my story about the $3 over the $100. Well, surely the Lord would have me give $100. That's religious. Because The churches I've been to, they preach on the offering more than they do anything else. And then they have another offering for this and another offering for that. And bring your canned goods and bring your coats and bring your backpacks for the kids and bring all your stuff and all the programs and fund all this and fund all that. The people in the church are the ones that need the money. I'm sorry, that's just... Or send it all over the world or all over the countries. I'm not saying anything. God tells you to do it, you do it. But it's like, in the storehouse, the church where the believers go, aren't they the ones that need to be taken care of first? That's the way it was in the book of Acts. But bigger's better. Oh, this is a big international ministry. You know, we want their same anointing. You don't need their anointing. You need the anointing God has for you. I want their stinking anointing. That's for them. I want the anointing God has for me to do what I'm supposed to do. Boy, I'm going different this morning. I'm going wrong. The Lord knows. Never be intimidated that you are who you are and God has anointed you. You do what you do. Because your part in it is just as important as my part in it or his part in it. It's like a puzzle. Every puzzle piece is different, but it all fits together to form a picture. And all these parts, all these working parts, form the body of Christ. If that little finger's not there, there's something missing, I'm telling you what. Or try something without a thumb. Paul said, comparing yourselves among yourselves is not wise. Like I said, if you're listening to a lot of different ministers, they will pull you off track and you'll be going in their steps, not in Jesus' steps. You need to go where God tells you to go, not where they tell you to go. Not that there's some of them aren't wonderful and have wonderful words of God. We've got to follow the Spirit. For years, I couldn't get connected to anything because I was listening to so many people. I'd read something and then I'd try to do that. And then I'd read another book and get off that and go to that. That's why I just quit listening to anybody. And it's gotten smaller and smaller and smaller, the ones that I'll even give my time to. Most of them are they just have some facts. I said, Lord, help me not to waste my time. Especially on people that are just, they're speculating. What good is that? I said, I want to know, and you're the one that's got the answers. You're the one that knows. Okay. Galatians 5:6. I don't want to be like any other prophet. I want to be the way God's called me to be. Yes, I respect the prophets. I respect the ones that have gone before. But I'm not called to be them. You know what I'm saying? You're called to be who God has called you to be. And you're unique in your own way. Your anointing fits you. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. In other words, your faith's not going to work without it. This week my motto has been like the American Express card. Don't wake up without it. Don't leave home without it. Grace, love and grace. Don't wake up without it. Don't leave the house without it. Don't stay at home without it. Don't go to your job without it. We can't do anything without it. We have to have it every minute of every day. All right, John 13. Okay. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, and you have loved one to another. We were supposed to make them jealous. He took the gospel to the Gentiles to make the Jews jealous. The Jews carry a heavy burden, and I know there's one particular guy that I listen to his news post because he does a very good job, and he's been doing it 2.5 years, and he's never had to retract one statement. He doesn't just speculate. He gives facts. So I like that, and it's sharp. But bless his heart, he's pretty young, and he's into all the Jewish root stuff, and he keeps the Torah, even though he's a Christian. I'm thinking, you've missed the point. I said, Lord, show him the truth. He knows the scriptures, but I know this. When the old covenant's read, the veil goes on the face. It obscures the view. Walking in the old covenant is like walking in the flesh. It was a fleshly covenant. We've had people that we've known has gotten into that. And they always get weird on you. That'll tell you something. And then it's kind of like you're this to them then. The veil covers the face. They forget who they are. They forget the love, God's love gift. He fulfilled the law. You know that? He fulfilled it. I remember there was an older lady, Pentecostal lady, at a ministry I worked at a lot of years, and she got offended because the director of this said ministry told her we're not under the Ten Commandments. And she got so offended, she quit. Ten Commandments are fulfilled. Okay. All right, Romans 13. Did I read John? Mm-hmm. Okay. The night is very strong this morning. It's good because I've kind of been out of steam. Seems like the weaker I am, the stronger he is. And that's what the scripture really says. Okay, Romans 13:8. It says to owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is a fulfilling of the law. Now what I just said, basically. If you're walking in love, you've fulfilled the Ten Commandments. 1 Corinthians 7. Verse 5. This is talking about between husband and wife. Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves a fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. The Lord knows our lives. He hits us everywhere we need to be. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Wow, pretty strong. Romans 5. Start with verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thank God he did. 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of God constraineth us. I remember Brother Hagin talking about a time, you know, he was on the field for a while, and he'd go to churches, and ministers, they'd just treat him terribly. And one in particular time, they come in town in their little whatever they were driving, no money to get food, no money to put in the gas. They just barely made it there. And then the minister, they stayed there a whole week, and the minister never did offer them any food, a meal, nothing in the house to eat. They'd get up before they woke up, and then come home after they went to bed. And he said, I wanted to call the district on them and report them so bad, but every time I'd pick up the phone, he said, the love of God constrained me. I couldn't do it. See, in them, you want to strike out, retaliate, but that love said, no, love covers. The vengeance belongs to the Lord. That was, he has a book called Love the Way to Victory, and there's full of stories of that kind of thing. One of them, a guy, lived in a nice brick home, had a brick church. He said it was unheard of in that day. And he put him in a chicken coop. And he didn't even get the chicken poop off of the cot that it was out there for him to lay on. But you see the life and ministry of Kenneth Hagin and where he walked. He suffered. When you walk in love towards people, you're going to suffer. That's just part of it. Do I like it? Well, heck no, I don't like it. Who would? It rankles the flesh. Like I told you, the flesh, it wars against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. We want to walk in the spirit, but the flesh is always trying to, yeah. Okay, let's keep going here. First, we serve God. Romans 12. Verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Is that serving? Yes, it is. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the first thing we do is we willingly serve God by laying our lives down, laying our dreams down, our hopes, whatever we thought, and saying, okay, Lord, I'm submitting to your will. Show me what it is. Verse 3 says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. And then he goes on to say, we are many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So no matter what you're called to do, you will receive the grace to do it, and your part is just as important as anybody else's. And let me tell you this, those that have a higher place over you, don't be jealous of that. I'm telling you, don't be jealous of that. God is the one that's chosen. That person hasn't chosen. Just be thankful, because you'll receive the same reward for your obedience as they do too. That's why we don't compare ourselves. with others. As long as we're doing what God's told us to do, we're okay, we're on our way. Okay, Hebrews 10. Let's see how many more I've got. Quite a few. How long have I gone? I don't want to go too long.
Just over an hour.
With everything or just this teaching?
You just turned 50 minutes on this one.
Okay. All right, Hebrews 10:7. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. So Jesus didn't come to be anything other than what the Father had for him to do. Verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and their minds, and I will write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. So Jesus came so that we could have eternal life. He came so that we could walk the way he walked, be a son of God. He was the first among many brethren. Okay, James 2. That was his aim and purpose. He didn't get off course. 2:8-9. For if ye fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. Yep. 1 John 3, 1 and 2. Beloved, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Okay. Obeying the Lord is in service to him. It's not necessary to always just serving another person, but doing what the Lord says is serving him. He's the first one we serve. All right. Romans 12:9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. That's serving your boss. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. I'm telling you, you get a crabby old boss, but you walk and you serve and you do right, he's going to notice. God will make sure he does. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Not making them feel like we don't want you here. Bless them which persecute you, and bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as liveth in you, or lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. I used to think that was a bad thing, but it's really a good thing. Because they cooked with these cooking pots they carried on their heads. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. I used to think, yeah, burn them, Lord, burn them, those coals on their head. That's not what it meant. Okay, let's get through some of these. If you want, I'll do this as fast as I can to get the rest of these scriptures in. Ephesians 4:32 says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. All right, 1 Corinthians 9:27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Hebrews 8:12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins, and their iniquities will I remember no more. Well, if he did that for us, shouldn't we do that for each other? Okay, 1 Peter 3. Verse 8 says, finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? So, okay. Colossians 3. Okay, right here, I'm just going to read one. I had the chapter down. I'm just going to read this one scripture. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Okay, Mark 11:23 talks about if you don't forgive, God won't forgive you, which I don't believe that, but I believe the principle of what that word says is that if you are in unforgiveness and stuff, it can block your faith. Yeah. Because God is already forgiven. Oh, if you don't do that, God won't forgive you. Well, he's already forgiven you. You know. So. But you have to understand, Jesus did walk up under the old covenant. So it was different. Okay, 1 John 3:18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Okay. Isaiah 43. You know what? I think I'm done. I think the Lord wants me to cut off there. I think we've got the point here.